hour number two of Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville live, the Mountain View Chevy Studios. Mountain View Chevy, East Tennessee's number one Chevy dealer, home of the low price promise where they guarantee to meet or beat any advertised price, or they will give you the car. The drive was just down there today. They're probably making their way back to Knoxville right now. Safe travels to the drive in this storm that we are in right now. Mountain View Chevy, the Silverado Truck Champions. Silverado is discounted up to $14,000 off. And you can check them out online, mtnviewchevy.com. And remember, it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. Saw this article today on SEC Country. Alex Martin Smith. Casey Clawson explains how Tennessee can get back to where, quote, it should be. This is what Casey Clawson had to say. He says, if we had 11 starters on offense and 11 starters on defense, I don't know if there were two guys or three guys from the same state. We had guys from Hawaii, guys from California, guys from Vegas, guys from Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Atlanta, Alabama, South Carolina. That's what made our teams unique. We had guys from literally all over the country. It wasn't 98% from one state, which the majority of the schools in the South are. He continued and said, I think Tennessee needs to, and they're doing it as we speak, go across the country and find the best players that, A, want to play at on that stage in the SEC week in and week out, and, B, want to compete and play early. I think there's a great opportunity for a lot of these guys that are looking at Tennessee, because if they go somewhere else, they'll sit on the bench for 2 to 3 years.
So, in summary, Casey is saying, get the best players around the country, doesn't matter where they are.
Right.
Oh, well, that's a formula to winning. I didn't think about that. I get what he's saying, though. Yeah, I mean, you saw us go, or at least attempt to get recruits from all these different parts of the country. Like Dominic Wood Anderson, where's he from? He's out west.
Yuma, Arizona.
Yeah, he's out west.
310 to Yuma.
You tried to get Isaac Taylor Stewart and Elijah Griffin. I mean, that didn't work out for you, but mm-hmm. you were trying to hit the West Coast. You got JT Shrout out from California as well. So you're seeing a little bit of that in the staff. Yeah. You're not just sticking to the South, even though that is where the majority of your elite talent is going to be, places like Georgia, Florida, Texas, Louisiana. We know that. But still, yet, you search the entire country, you'll find the best players. Not only if you search the entire country will you find your 4 and 5 stars, you're more likely to find your diamonds in the rough.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with them. People are really honing in as the in-state level of talent starts to rise, even in Tennessee. I mean, the high school football in Tennessee has taken a real jump in recent years.
Yeah, especially in the mid-state.
Exactly. So, and then obviously we know how talent-rich Alabama and Florida is. There's a lot of recruiting traffic down there. And it's going to be hard to get guys if you're not winning yet. So you got to go coast to coast. Most of the Alabama, Georgia, they get a lot of their guys from that region. There's a few exceptions, obviously, to Tagovailoa is from Hawaii. So there's always exceptions. But I think, yeah, like you said, Tanner, Isaac Taylor Stewart, Jordan Allen's from San Francisco. Pruitt's been trying that, but that's tough to do in your first year. Yep. When you're not winning yet, it's tough to recruit in the Southeast, so you have to go coast to coast.
And, I mean, Clawson mentioned this. He said most teams in the South are made up of – he used the number 98. I think that number's a little high. But I get what he's saying. Yeah. Are made up from players from that state. Some states can do – some schools can do that. Florida can afford to do that. Georgia can afford to do that. Alabama and Auburn can afford to do that. Louisiana, LSU can afford to do that. Texas A&M. Tennessee can. Even though, I mean, we said it, the talent in the mid-state has definitely gone up in the last couple of years. But it's still not enough to where you can lean on just in-state talent alone.
And with Jeremy Pruitt's staff, we've talked about it when he was hired too, the difference in hiring a sitting head coach who has a staff in place and that often bring a lot of the same guys he's been working with, you know, repaying favors, the loyalty that they've shown him. That's not an issue with Jeremy Pruitt because he's never been a head coach before. He's going to go get guys. He got guys from all over the country. David Johnson's got the ties to Louisiana. Terry Fair spent time in Colorado. Will Friend at Georgia. Obviously, you have the Alabama ties. You've got ties all over the place with this staff, and that's definitely what he was going for when looking for his guys in the staff. He wasn't going to bring in guys that have been loyal to him over the years because he's never been a head coach. So that part of it is a pro of having a first-year head coach, getting guys. I think his emphasis in getting a lot of these staff members was recruiting. David Johnson, with the ties that he has to high schools in Louisiana, he coached two or three high schools as a head coach in Louisiana. And we know how talent-rich Louisiana is. So all this stuff that Casey Clawson, he's acknowledging, too, that they are doing it. Pruitt is making an effort to go coast to coast. He made a real effort of it for this last recruiting class, but, you know, fell short on some guys because it's your first year. You haven't had much time.
And, I mean, Fulmer did that when in his time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have Clawson from the California.
Is he from there? I know he's coaching football there.
He's from outside of L.A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from California. I think Peerless Price from Ohio.
Yes.
So, I mean, you have guys from kind of all over the place, and obviously Peyton down in Louisiana. So, I don't know. I'm not worried about recruiting with this staff. I just thought that was a little interesting few quotes that the Iceman had to say.
You hardly hear anything from the Iceman anymore.
Yeah, he's coaching high school now, isn't he?
Yeah, full-time head coach. I don't think – has he ever been back to a game to be honored since he graduated? Because I cannot recall.
I know he's definitely been back on campus. I've seen pictures of him in the complex touring. He's probably already met with Pruitt. But, yeah, he's the head coach at his alma mater.
See, that's the quarterback when I was starting to actually watch Tennessee football. That was my quarterback.
Yeah, same here.
Unfortunately, was a little too young for Peyton's prime.
Casey Clawson.
The Iceman could beat Florida, could beat Alabama, beat Georgia.
The best of the Clawsons.
Yeah, but you got to show some love for Rick, though.
Do we? A
little bit.
Thanks for the comeback against LSU, Rick, and thanks for making sure we won the East in 04. Okay, that's all I had. That's all you really can give to him.
That's enough.
Jimmy Clawson, you suck.
He was good in college.
Should have went to Tennessee. Notre Dame. Ugh. Have we got to talk about the Mel Copper Jimmy Clawson thing?
No.
While I'm bringing him up, what was it, Lucas? What did he say?
About 8 years ago, when Clawson was entering the draft, he said something along the lines, the quote's not in front of me, that if Jimmy Clawson isn't great by 2018 or isn't great in 8 years, then I will quit. Well,
check your watch.
There you go. It's 8 years later. He is not great. I don't even
know. Todd, I didn't mean it. Todd, didn't mean it.
Probably not in a roster, is he? Yeah, he's definitely not on a roster.
It's got to be no
way.
Who
was the last team he was with?
Was
last
it the Panthers?
Team, let's see here.
I was thinking the Bears.
No, it was the Ravens.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was drafted by the Panthers.
Okay.
Then he was with the Bears.
And then the Ravens.
And then the Ravens.
He was on the roster as recently as 2015. I thought he called it quits before that. Only 30 years old.
2015 for the Ravens. Started a couple games.
I'm gonna look up his career stats.
He was a third. Had to go in because Joe Flacco went down, and then Matt Schaub went down, and then Clawson had to go in, and then he was benched for Ryan Mallett.
Do you guys want to hear Jimmy Clawson?
Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear Jimmy Clawson's career NFL stats in the four seasons he played?
Sure. Why not?
Sure.
Okay. So total stats: passing yards 2,520, 7 passing touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
Truly great.
Elite.
Only started 14 games in his entire career.
Matt Schaub.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a guy who fell off the face of the earth. I mean, he was a pretty serviceable quarterback. Had the Texans in the playoffs. Was doing nice things and then just...
He's with the Falcons.
He's still in the league?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's with the Falcons. Didn't record a stat last year, but he's on the roster.
He's behind elite Joe Flacco.
He didn't record a stat last year, and he threw for one. He was 1 for 3 in 2016. Attempted 3 passes. Completed 1 for 16 yards.
A mighty,
in case you were wondering.
A mighty 1 for 3.
Yeah. But yeah, he was serviceable for a few years. Had a few 4,000-yard seasons
and
with the Texans.
Just fell off the face of the earth.
He's 36. Getting up there.
Anyway, back to Tennessee football. Brian Niedermeyer sent out a pretty open-ended tweet. Something about Pennsylvania to Tennessee.
Well, first it was Tino Sinceri.
Oh, his was first?
I think so. That's the first one that I saw.
I saw Brian Niedermeyer's first. Okay. I don't know which
one. You might be right. Niedermeyer tweeted this yesterday. He said, some Wednesday calls are just better than others. Hashtag on schedule. Hashtag Vol Nation. Hashtag GBO. Hashtag PA to TN. This is in Pennsylvania to Tennessee.
Tino Sinceri tweeted, boom! Exclamation point. Big time! Exclamation point. About to add to the hashtag VFL family very soon. The emoji with the zipper across its mouth. And then the exclamation point emoji twice. Orange emoji, white emoji, orange emoji, white emoji. T19 with a picture of Jeremy Pruitt bowling. What does it all mean?
I love emoji analysis.
Yeah, this is 2018 journalism.
This is what we went to school
Big
for, guys.
Big J, baby.
Breaking down emojis.
Yeah, I don't know. With PA Tennessee, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is Joe Osovit. Added to the staff recently. Coach JUCO up in PA. Sent a lot of players up there to D1 programs all over the country. So that's the first thing I think of. And this time of year, I mean, it's the end of March. Like, grad transfer, JUCO eligible to play in 2018. But can't really think of any big-time recruits that are in Pennsylvania that Tennessee has been targeting.
I don't know.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into the PA to TN thing. I don't know. Maybe that's the initials of the high school. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out soon enough. Niedermeyer is rising up my board as a favorite coach. Actually, he's probably at the top.
He definitely has the best Twitter game of any coach on the staff.
Who has the worst?
Probably Pruitt. He does not care for Twitter.
Yeah,
he does not care for Twitter.
But I'd rather he
Twitter.
Not care for Twitter.
Yeah. What is that?
What is that? I'd rather he not.
What is that?
There you go.
Twitter.
I ain't never heard of it.
I love those sound drops so much.
Is that kind of like that Facebook?
Oh, yeah, I know that Facebook. There's all my cousins post about having their babies and buying new clothes and stuff. Oh, yeah, something like that. What? You mean I can talk to recruits on there? Oh, I can't talk to recruits. Oh.
It's good for recruiting, Jeremy.
Recruiting.
Oh, we have too much fun with that. I feel like we do that some sort of variation of that every
way
week.
Way too much. Way too much.
Every week. 865-546-8200. Quick break. More of Overtime when we come back. /7:18 back on Overtime. Sticking with college football. Old Butch Jones had his salary announced today. Butch Jones, the intern at the University of Alabama, will be making a whopping $35,000 a year to be an intern. I'll take it. Sign me up for that internship any day of the week.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing. Well, obviously, I guess he's grateful to take it. But
spending money.
A 99%.
Yeah.
Pay cut.
Spending money.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, you don't think it's you think it's a fair amount, Butch? You think it's a fair amount, Butch?
That's inexcusable.
You're inexcusable, Butch.
I wonder how much like Sarkeesian and Chris Winkie, kind of the other more, you know, the other
valuable, the more valuable analysts,
non-interns,
the respected analyst,
the non-interns,
right?
I don't know how much they're making, or were making. Poor Butch. $35,000 a year to be an intern and still making your money from Tennessee.
Yeah, what do you mean poor Butch?
Rich Butch.
Rich Butch. He's got $9 million in the bank from Tennessee. He's got $35,000 a year to spend on whatever he wants. He's doing fine.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, like I mean, we've talked about this. I feel like we've talked more about Butch Jones in the past 2.5 weeks than is ever.
Well, yeah, because you bring him up every time somebody says the word individual.
Oh, please, give me a break.
What?
When somebody says individual and somebody says
critical,
is that not the first? Do you not like get triggered and think Butch Jones? Is it not
when I hear critical? I do not when I hear individual.
Well, he can pop into your head. It doesn't mean you got to bring him up. Don't give him that power, man. He's still in your
Butch
head.
Butch is living in your mind rent free, Brandon. Rent free.
Don't give him that power to take that word from you. Take it back.
I guess I need to be coached up. I guess I'm weak. Oh, well. Good for Butch. Tony Bennett wins AP Coach of the Year.
That was probably one of the longer silent pauses we've had on this show.
Tony Bennett wins AP Coach of the Year, but is also Tony Bennett the only Coach of the Year to ever be the one seed to lose to a 16.
Oh, the irony. Rick Barnes comes in second, though. It was kind of between them two. Is there a third? I mean, who else was it? Was it
Chris Holtman.
That's right.
And Jay Wright. Those were the four.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Jay Wright, I mean, he's a phenomenal coach, but Villanova expected to come back and be a contender. And they've pretty much lived up to that. And Chris Holtman had a good season with Ohio State, but I think everybody saw, even with the tournament disappointments, it was going to come down to Tony Bennett and Rick Barnes just because of the preseason expectations. Now it's kind of the debate of does he deserve it in the same year he made history by not only losing to a 16 seed for the first time, but just getting run out of the gym, getting obliterated. I mean, his team didn't
show up. I
don't
know. What do you think?
I don't know, man. It's tough because both of them had almost equally disappointing ends to the season. I say almost because losing to a 16 seed, nothing can top that. That's the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history. Nothing tops that.
Getting embarrassed by a 16 seed.
But I guess when you look at the result, yeah, getting embarrassed. When you look at the result in the tournament with both teams, sort of similar. Tennessee came up short, also got upset by a double-digit seed. So I guess you just got to look at the regular season. Virginia did win their conference regular season. They won the conference tournament, lost two games in the entirety of the regular season, and weren't expected to do much. We're expected to finish mid-table in the ACC. So I guess you can give the edge to Tony Bennett. If Tennessee got to the Sweet 16, got to the Elite Eight, got to where they should be, then it would be
if
easy.
If only you could take advantage of the road that was laid out for you to get to San Antonio.
Well, let's not go down that depressing road.
I know.
If that had happened, Rick Barnes is the easy choice. But I guess all you can do now, looking at
it, was ours for the taking.
All right, all right. This does no good for
us. What could have been?
I'm tuning out of this conversation. I don't want to talk
about it. Lucas, the eternal optimist. You can't bring Lucas down. Lucas is too good. He will not be brought down by our discussion of what could have been. He will not fall into the trap.
Do you just wake up and eat a big bowl of sunshine and rainbows for breakfast, Lucas?
We just no point talking about it. We just keep talking about, oh, we should be there.
Pitiful me.
We should be there. Yeah, we should be there, but we're not. And it's depressing, man. I don't want to talk
about
it.
Poor me. Woe is me, the Tennessee fan. Woe is me.
Yeah.
It's a fun life. And Lucas is too good for it. Lucas is too good for the woe is me.
You too good for our depression, Lucas? Is that what it is? Is that what it is?
I said I was tuning out. I'm tuning out. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, well, what would you like to talk about then, Lucas? Since you don't want to go down our
this
road.
This is your show.
Well, y'all can talk about it.
No. This is a three-man show.
Pick the next topic.
You lead us down the road.
I saw my timeline here. Already have an inside the park home run on the first day of the year.
Really? We could be talking about what could have been, and you're talking about baseball.
Okay, you're right. Let's not talk about opening day baseball. Let's talk about guys, we should be there. We should be at the Final Four. We should have beaten Loyola. We would have had to play Nevada and then Kansas State. That should be
and
us.
And then we could have gotten revenge on Michigan. We could have gotten revenge on Michigan from the 2014 tournament. How great would that have been, Lucas?
Does this make you feel better?
We could have exacted our revenge on Michigan and John Boehlin. We could have done it.
Yeah, but they didn't. No, you know, I don't know. I'm out.
Lucas is no fun. 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. Birthdays when we come back. March 29th, not a very good day for birthdays. I'll go ahead and say it. I've got three names, and I had to pull two from tomorrow to give us a little bit more. So I've got five total, and here we go. We'll start with today's birthdays. He would have been 200. And 28 years old today, a former U.S. president, known for having the shortest term in office.
James Harrison?
No.
James Garfield?
No.
John James Tyler.
Monroe?
It is John Tyler.
Ah.
Oh. Did he have the shortest?
I thought it was the one who died.
When he got pneumonia.
He definitely
was
had
it
the
not,
shortest.
Was it
was
Tyler?
It not, was that not John Tyler?
No.
I thought he
wasn't
had
that William Henry Harrison?
Yeah, William Henry.
Damn it, Brandon.
Fake news.
Yeah.
Well,
Tyler did have a short reign too, didn't he?
What the hell did John Tyler do?
He might have been the shortest in height.
John Is that, Tyler did you was get, the 10th president.
Did you get him confused for shortest tenure and shortest height?
No.
Oh, making sure.
No, James Madison was the shortest, 5'4".
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Tyler, I think, was actually kind of tall. You know, his grandson is still alive.
Yeah, that would have been a good end. Still has a – he's got two grandsons.
Well, that would have been
he's got
perfect.
Two grandsons who are alive.
It would have been factual.
Excuse me.
Well, excuse me.
He was the vice president of William Henry Harrison.
Oh.
Close. So he had the shortest term as vice president. I got confused. Oh. I got confused.
Okay.
President, vice president.
Same thing.
Sorry. I gave a bad clue. What, I told you it wasn't a good day.
What did we say about historical accuracy on this show?
We strive for perfection.
Work on it and try to improve.
It was just a small inaccuracy.
As you say, I'm using your words.
He would have been 100 years old today. Now you've got me worried that I've gotten my facts on this person wrong. He would have been 100 years old today.
Marlon okay. Brando.
No.
Okay.
108?
100.
100.
Oh.
He is an American businessman, an entrepreneur.
It's not Steve Jobs, right?
We've already no. No, no. 100.
You're right. A little younger. A little
oh,
younger,
my gosh.
A little younger.
Not John D. Rockefeller.
I was going to say Rockefeller. Cornelius Vanderbilt.
He's the founder of a very popular retail store.
Sam Walton.
It is Sam Walton.
Sam Walton's Five and Dime, the original Walmart.
Walmart, Sam's Club.
Walmart Neighborhood Market.
Not a fan.
You been to the Neighborhood Market?
Yeah.
I like them. I actually like them.
I prefer the Supercenters.
I always thought the one on campus was weird because they don't sell produce.
Yeah.
Strange.
All right. What's the score?
2-0.
Okay. You got to get Need these next three. Yeah. He's 40 years old today. NFL head coach.
Sean McVay.
Is not Sean McVay.
Is it Adam Gase?
It is Adam Gase.
Ooh. Nice.
Longtime Bronco assistant coach. Adam Gase. The road to your comeback starts now, Lucas. He is 28 years old tomorrow. Bro country.
Luke Bryan.
No.
Oh, he's got to be older than that.
Right? Sam Hunt.
No. Bro country.
Younger.
Superstar.
Chris
superstar.
Staple. No, Chris Staple.
No.
Not
no!
Bro country.
Oh, my
I'm
gosh.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
He
I'm
is
superstar.
Married. He is married to.
Oh, is it Thomas Rhett?
It is Thomas Ooh. Rhett to a Tennessee fan. I don't know what his wife's name is. But I know she's
I know.
A Tennessee fan.
Everybody talks about
Sound like
Thomas.
Say somebody so important.
Thomas Rhett and his wife. I'd see it tweeted
oh
about
God.
All
goals.
The time.
Oh
goals. OMG relationship goals. I wish I could marry a country music superstar.
Bro. Country music.
Yeah. Excuse my language. I can't believe Lucas said Chris Stapleton was pro country.
I stopped myself.
Mute. Mute, Lucas. You're muted.
Not during the game.
All right, it all comes down to this. She is 50 years old tomorrow. The big 5-0. She is an American. No, she's not American. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what her nationality is. Let me do a quick Google check. She has her own show in Vegas.
Britney Spears.
No.
Oh, man, if she's 50. Oh,
Lord.
She might be close.
I'm trying to think of who has, like, Vegas.
She's
Vegas.
Canadian.
Sean Twain.
Oh, it's Celine Dion.
It is Celine Dion.
I was thinking different genre.
It is Celine Dion. 50 years old tomorrow, Celine.
I was close with Shania Twain.
My heart will go on.
Oh, great. All great songs.
And on. And on. And on.
I would have thought she would have been older.
And Jack could have made it on the wood.
Yes, he could have.
So much room.
It was proven.
Canadian gave it away. She's the only Canadian.
I was thinking. See, I was thinking Shania Twain. I didn't
is
even
Shania
think
Twain
it.
Canadian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Vegas. She is not the only Canadian singer
that I know of. Like female Canadian
singer. Alanis Morissette.
All right. Forget I said that.
You just didn't know they were
Canadian.
I didn't
know she was Canadian. For some reason, I knew Celine Dion's Canadian.
Celine Dion. Oh, Celine. Do you know she's, well, this has probably gone up. Just a quick Google search of Celine Dion. She's worth about $630 million as of December 2014. It's a little outdated, so I'm sure that's gone up by now.
Titanic, pretty well for her.
Yeah.
I mean, that song still gets played in the background of every major sports moment.
Yeah. My heart will go on and on and on and on. All right. Been putting this story off for a few days. Did you see this in West Tennessee?
Yeah.
An alligator was spotted, and it's pretty frightening. Alligators in Tennessee. What's next?
We are screwed, people. I mean, do you understand that?
Yeah.
Keep them out of this state. No, I mean, thank you.
It's still in West Tennessee, so we're pretty safe.
Oh, they're getting closer. They're within the state border.
Invading.
Like, where would you say the closest alligator would be?
Meaning in the state, or
like just anywhere, like a wild alligator.
The closest alligator to here.
Yes, besides the one that just popped up in West Tennessee.
South Georgia.
Yeah. Are there any gators in Alabama, Lucas?
Zero gators in Alabama.
You can say with 100% certainty there are no alligators?
Unless you go to the zoo.
Yes, technically the closest alligator is down at Knoxville Zoo.
unless you go to the zoo.
Oh, God.
I don't know where to go from here.
We can do a quick score update.
No, 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 no.
Braves tied it up.
Who cares?
We tied a lot of people.
Care. A lot of listeners in this area actually do you not care about the fans,
okay,
Brandon?
Okay, give me a quick Braves update.
Tied at 5, bottom of the 9th. Scored 3 runs in the 8th to tie it up.
And apparently Dansby Swanson still can't hit.
Good. Good.
It's a good opening day. There's like 3 or 4 games in extras.
So you don't care about the alligator at all? You'd rather give score updates than talk about the alligator?
No, the alligator thing is terrifying.
I mean, he was just out there chilling in the little puddle.
We won't have to actually worry about alligators invading as a whole.
That's
because
what you think.
Is there any place in the state that would be suitable for their environment?
I saw on the news they could survive in West Tennessee.
In West Tennessee. Yeah.
Could survive and make it a habitat. It's not the same thing, though. We're not. We're not a wet, humid hellhole 24/7, 365 like Florida.
I want to know where the. Because are there alligators in Mississippi? Did he come up through? How did he get to West Tennessee? Because East Tennessee, if he somehow made his way. Because is there in South Carolina, there could be alligators. Maybe he made his way up from there, but West Tennessee, there are
alligators in South Carolina.
Yeah. So I don't know how he got all the way over to.
If he's in West Tennessee, he might have come up from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Probably come up from the bayou.
That's a big old trip.
Went up the Mississippi.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. That seems like the easier trek than going up from Florida and then
taking 40 west.
Yeah.
And
just.
The alligator calling the exit.
Just keep the animals that are currently in Florida, keep them down there, please.
Oh, like you think the alligators are terrifying? They have Burmese pythons down there.
Yeah.
No.
Do you know how they got started?
Hurricane Andrew.
Yeah.
They were in a wildlife preserve, and they escaped when Hurricane Andrew hit in 1992, and they started multiplying in the Everglades.
Yeah.
So that's just terrifying.
Frightening. Mm-hmm. And you know what's even more frightening than those pythons in the Everglades?
What's that?
Nile crocodiles in Florida.
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah.
They are down there.
They are. Man-eaters. They eat humans. No, thank you.
Florida is just America's Australia.
Do you have any desire to go to the Everglades?
No.
You wouldn't want to take one of those big airboat rides?
I'm not a big enough nature person to want to go to the Everglades. I've been outside the Everglades. I've been close. My dad lives in Florida, and he lived close to the Everglades. You know Lake Okeechobee down there? Yeah, he lived around there, so he was kind of close. But no.
Look, did you ever have the desire to go down to the Everglades riding on one of the big the fan boats?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
See, I think it'd be kind of fun. As long as you can assure me that I will not
be
eaten.
You can ride an airboat on a lake. Why not on a lake? Does it have to be down the Everglades? Does it have to be in the bayou?
Yeah.
Why?
It's more effective that way. More authentic.
Real quick here.
Is this a baseball update?
Nick Markakis.
Oh, my.
Three-run homer. Walk-off. Braves win 8-5. They're above 500 for the first time in 1,032 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Nick Markakis.
I didn't think it'd been that long. 1-0. Oh, my gosh.
What a comeback. Great start to the season.
Hang a banner, Atlanta.
It has been a great opening day. And I'm not even the biggest baseball fan. But because Brandon doesn't want to talk about it, our listeners don't get to hear the valuable score updates from the Braves.
Just look on their phone.
Well, sometimes if they're driving in their cars, it's not healthy to text and drive and check your phone.
Do you care about the listeners,
Look
Brandon?
At that. Brandon doesn't care about the safety.
It's all about you, isn't it? Oh, Brandon doesn't want to hear the score updates.
We'll take a quick break.
Try not to kill Lucas.
More of Overtime when we continue. .747 coming out of the sky. Final segment of Overtime on this Thursday. Closing out the show. Some news today. Back in February, but it's only coming out today. Very, very interesting story going on here. From CBS News, here's the headline. Two airline pilots report seeing UFO while flying over Arizona.
Say that one more time.
Two airline pilots report seeing UFO while flying over Arizona. While flying at over 30,000 feet in the air over Arizona, two airline pilots claim an unidentified flying object, UFO, flew over top their planes. CBS Denver reports that both planes reported the sighting. The Federal Aviation Administration has also released a recording of the radio broadcasts from the Out of This World incident. According to the radio logs, two separate pilots of a Learjet operated by Phoenix Air and an American Airlines flight saw the object flying the opposite direction of their planes on February 24th. In a copy of the conversation with the Albuquerque Center Air Traffic Control, the Phoenix Air pilot makes the first sighting of the strange object around 3:30 p.m. local time. Quote, was anybody above us that passed like 30 seconds ago? The pilot asked in a tape released to the Phoenix News New Times. The answer from the FAA, negative. With the Learjet's close encounter still in mind, the FAA in Albuquerque alerts American Airlines Flight 1095 to keep an eye out for an object in the sky as they fly towards San Diego. Less than a minute after the warning, Flight 1095's pilot radios in that his plane was just passed by the UFO. Quote, yeah, something just passed over us, the pilot reported. I don't know what it was, but it was at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over top of us. The pilots could not determine if the unidentified object was hovering or actually flying, but the American Airlines pilot can be heard saying the UFO had a, quote, big reflection and doubted it was a Google balloon. What do you think?
They're out there, man. They're out there.
I don't really know why it surprises people. Like, why people
what,
don't...
What do you mean?
Or why... Not that, but why
not
people don't...
Not everyone is as
why people don't believe it.
As not everyone's an intellectual like you, Lucas.
Like us. It happened not too far from Roswell, New Mexico. This is from CNN. Ooh. A town that became synonymous with extraterrestrial activity in 1947 after reports that a flying object crash-landed in a field. I mean, that's the area of the U.S., right? That's kind of Area 51 where the most reports have come out.
I don't want aliens to exist.
They do.
You don't know.
Now,
hold on.
Do you not want the aliens that are depicted in popular culture to not exist? Like, yes. The Little Green Men, or even as bad as Independence Day?
The ones that are coming to destroy us and probe us and take us over.
Independence Day.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to deal with that.
I don't know about the depictions. I think that's all a bunch of Hollywood, their image of everything. However, I've always been a believer that, there's obviously other organisms out there inhabiting other planets, and somewhere out there, there's intelligent life.
They're probably just as curious as we are.
That's the big question. If they are out there, that being other intelligent life forms, are they aware of us? Are they primitive? Or are they just as curious about us as we are of them? Or are they actually planning to colonize us?
Yeah. Either they're just as curious as us and want to check it out, say what's up, or they've lost all the resources on their planet and they've come to destroy us and use ours. It's two extremes.
There's no in-between?
No, I don't think there's in-between.
It's frightening.
No, they're just coming over to borrow a cup of sugar. That's all they're doing.
I'd be glad to give it to them.
Please don't zap me. Please don't vaporize me, sir.
Don't probe me.
Don't probe me, bro!
I mean, I feel like UFO stories don't get much play in national news.
Yeah,
not
as much as you would think. I mean, this is like two separate pilots reporting something flying above them and all authorities saying that there's nothing, no recorded aircraft or anything. They're saying it's not a weather balloon. The kind of thing that you feel like would be making national news, but you're right, it doesn't get much play.
Why didn't we scramble some fighters, shoot it down?
Oh, you don't want to do that.
We got to find out what this is. You can't just let them fly around and then it's too late.
But if you shoot it down,
you start a full-scale war.
Is it seen as an act of aggression?
Yeah, and you don't full-scale war that you don't know you're ready for.
And you shoot one little craft down, all of a sudden you see something come over the horizon. It blocks out the sun, blocks out the moon. Oh, it's the mothership. Uh-oh. We probably shouldn't have done that.
I'm just saying, maybe we need to be a little proactive.
We need to recruit Will Smith, just in case.
Will Smith's too old now.
Oh no, do we need Jaden?
We need a new We need a new
Jaden's more likely to be an alien, actually.
We need a new Will Smith. Who's the new Will Smith?
Michael B. Jordan, probably.
Donald Glover.
Yeah. Ooh.
More established on the music scene, but sure.
Well, Will Smith technically started out doing music.
No, he did, yeah. But I mean, Donald Glover is, you know, Childish Gambino.
Now he's moving
on. A lot of success.
It's not getting jiggy with it.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's no. What was the one? Oh, that
parents just don't understand.
No, the.
Are you talking about
the Wolf Switch? Wasn't it the Wolf?
Oh,
the Wolf
Switch
song.
Yes. plenty of airplay when I was in elementary school. I'm just saying, he's got that experience in Independence Day. He probably had to like go through some simulators. Maybe he can join the rest of the military in fighting the oncoming invasion. Who else was in Independence Day? Jeff Goldblum, right?
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum. I think Bill Pullman.
Oh, and
Bill Polian?
Not Bill Polian.
Why am I blanking on his name? Cousin Eddie.
Quaid.
Randy Quaid, yeah. Mm. Hello, boys. I'm back. Andre Adlon.
Randy Quaid is not someone we need to fight aliens.
Randy Quaid is a loon.
I feel like we need Men in Black without Will Smith.
Tommy Lee's too old.
Tommy Lee, yeah. If you want to talk about avoiding people because of their age, I don't think you want Tommy Lee Jones.
But Tommy Lee is a badass. Will Smith is at the age where he's old, but he's not cool yet.
He's still a 71-year-old badass.
That's the argument you want to make. You can be wrong. Fine with me. It's going to do it for us. Lucas Panzeca, Tanner Carson, I'm Brandon Orrick. We'll do it again tomorrow. You've been listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville.